Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales. Natalie has been in the top 1% in the country for over 25 years and number one in Hawaii for 2 years prior to stepping back to building Realty Universal. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And she joins us now. Hey, Natalie.
Hey, Randy. How are you doing over there?
We got some sunshine today. We have some sunshine today after 3 days of, or 2 days of rain.
See, so, I love the rain. I love the rain. We need the rain just as much as the sun. But that's a good thing.
I know, and I did. I loved it the first day. I loved the first day of rain, and then second day I didn't love it so much. But fortunately, we had sunshine on Sunday, and Chrissy's graduation got handled. And
how was that? Congratulations.
Yeah, kind of an emotional day, and you know, her baby girl graduating from college, and kind of sneaks up on you. You think you've kind of been through this before, and you're going to be okay, and then you walk up afterwards, and you know, hug her, and gets pretty emotional, and got a lot of great pics there on our Facebook page. In fact, I made my cover photo, the picture of Chrissy and Monica and I. And Monica, here's what's going on. So, you know, everybody, when you go to this graduation, there's 2,000 graduates out there on this football field. So you're using binoculars and whatever you can to see where she's at, you know, and to follow her as she walks up, right? Because you kind of want to see the moment where she walks up and gets her diploma. So, you know,
exactly.
You're watching her, and then you lose her, and then you know, and she's in line, and you're not sure quite where she is, and everybody looks kind of alike. And Monica has got Chrissy's really nice camera with kind of the telephoto lens and all that. And so Monica is just clicking away, you know. She's not even sure. She's saying, like, I lost her. Oh, I'm just going to keep clicking. Long story short, she got the picture of Chrissy just as she's walking up and getting handed her diploma. She's reaching her hand out. Monica actually got the picture.
Oh, that's so
of that
cool.
Moment.
That is perfect. Aww.
And, yeah, it was like a miracle.
It's so special. Did they?
Yeah.
Are they video? Oh, they the college will videotape the whole ceremony, right? But then you can't see your you know, it's all general, right? Isn't it?
Yeah, and it was televised and it's archived, you know, on.
Are you allowed to tape it? Were you able to tape it yourself?
Yeah, if you want to, absolutely. And we taped some portions, you know, kind of thing, and we got the portion where you know, they announced her name and you know, so you know, that kind of thing.
I
was thinking about it, having been in, this is where I go, having been in radio and done play-by-play where you have to announce difficult names or whatever, you know, they had two people, because they keep it moving, 1,800, you know, students, they, you know, they just keep, hey, next name, next name, next name, and you keep walking up and getting your diploma. And they actually broke it up so that there were two sides, so they, you know, one person would announce a name, then another, and then back to the other, back and forth. And I just thought to myself, each of those faculty had to announce 900 names, you know, and had to get them right. And so I think there was some preparation there. I imagine, because they're teachers, they must
have
done this, but, you know,
they
got the list.
They practice, yeah.
Yeah, go over all the names.
Awesome. Yeah, were your sons there? Did they come in?
My oldest, yeah, Ryan, our oldest, came up from Del Mar, and you know, was there, got great pictures with him, and Travis, of course, is in Europe on tour and all that, so he couldn't make it, but he did he did call her, and
oh my goodness,
you know, so
she must
and
be
it
so
was
excited.
Late because Yeah, she was. And now it's like suddenly it's over. This week she's, kicking back and got no work, no school, and just playing with a dog and relaxing. And
she deserves it.
Yeah, she does. She worked very hard and, worked full time, went to school full time for much of her school. She's enjoying her week off from both from both school and from from work. So that was our weekend. It was we had family and friends come over for the party afterwards, and it was a beautiful day. Not too hot, and so it was great. It was one of those days you'll always remember. And
remember for the rest of your life.
Yeah, and to the credit, Monica's folks, of course, my family, all of my family, pretty much dead or dispersed. I have no idea where most of my extended family is, but Monica's is very close, and they all show up for stuff like that. Even though they live over, in the San Francisco Bay Area, 3-4 hours away, they all drove over, and they were all a big part of it, and, I always admired that about families that actually go to events,
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Stay and stick together, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, ma'am. How are you?
That's wonderful, wonderful, huh? Today's show, we're going to actually just talk a little bit about FHA versus conventional, which type of loan you should get if you're buying a house.
Ooh.
And fall within
topic.
That price range, because FHA does have limits, around the country, depending on what county you're in. So we're going to go over that because there's some new changes that are coming, but they're not horrible changes. And then the second half, you have a very interesting guest coming on.
Yeah. Joe Taylor is a licensed marriage and family therapist and a friend of ours. And, going to be talking about depression. He actually, specializes in grief, which I thought would be interesting based, on this past year.
Yeah, I was meaning to talk to him last year, too. No, I'm just kidding. Okay.
Like I said, we could get some free counseling here from this guy.
That's cool. Looking forward to it. So he talks about grief
depression. Helps people work through that. He also helps, he really has a passion for marriages, and that's where he and I and Monica are kind of teaming up to do some weekend intensives with couples in crisis and stuff like that. So
God bless you, too. That's so fantastic. That's awesome. I'm going to go to a workshop this weekend with, it's called the Soul Center in Honolulu. It's actually Soul, what's it called? Let me give you the exact. It's Love, Peace, Harmony Center, Honolulu. And I was invited to go a while back, and I'd been on the mainland and back and forth. And I said, "Well, I'm Christian. I'm Christian. I don't." And they said, "No. People from all denominations go to this." And I went to one meeting, and it was really, really interesting. And I'm going to a workshop this weekend that's coming up, which is, and it's all about peace and love and what we talk about and what Jesus teaches and bringing that into the world. And it's interesting because they're talking about, there's a whole bunch of books that were written by Dr. Xingang Sha. This is an organization that actually is worldwide, and it's there's a Soul Power series books. And you and I talk about it's time to heal and the different ways to do it. There's so many ways, and it's all the same as far as getting that stuff out of us, dealing with issues, loving ourselves. And I found it very interesting because a lot of things they were going over in this meeting I went to, I was like, wow. So much of that's in the Bible, so much is here, so much, because people kind of sometimes communicate things in different fashions. But I found it interesting, when we talked to you on the second half, they're talking about people suffering from spiritual, mental, emotional, physical things, right? And it's time to heal. It all ties in, so I'll go into that another time with you more. But it's pretty interesting. It's pretty interesting now. That
very
love
cool.
and peace is what we need more than anything, And
yep.
and also the positive attitude. How hard it is to have that positive attitude, because everything in life is the way we look at it, right? If we just like you were saying, the rain, oh, I love the rain. Yeah, I loved it the first day, but not the second day. And you're right, because then it's kind of messing up your plans, right? At first you're like, you know, and it's all the way we look at it. You know, if we go out there and go, wow, we really, the farmers might go, we really needed that rain, you know, wait a minute, we needed it, you know. And someone else who wants to go play out in the sun, oh, my gosh, in the mud puddles, we can't go, you know. So it's, but it's fine. Yeah. It's just interesting about life. Because it really, you know, that stuff out there is serious stuff that affects all of us. And I think it's fun.
Yeah.
Well, it can be fun and it can be bad and then it can be good. But it's all good when we're working on it and trying to and living with the passion. The FHA right now, I was just going to go over the everybody knows the loan crisis has been a mess. I mean, it's nothing new. It's gotten better. The housing market's really picking up right now. I think people are becoming much more positive about it. We're seeing a lot more people out there across the country buying homes. You're finding areas where they're actually having a shortage of inventory. So when that happens, you'll tend to get multiple offers on a property. So I think the sellers are very, very happy. It's not a true, I wouldn't say true full seller's market. Some places it is. I mean, there's some pockets that are just going like crazy. But overall, it's a much more positive seller's market and much more than it's been in a long time. So those are good things. I think we have such a big mess to clean up, you know, with the economy. I think it's going to take quite a long time to get the factors in place, you know. But when, as perception's huge, right, in anything, when the mood's good right now, so that's a good thing, and the interest rates are still low. What's happened with FHA, and FHA is actually a government agency that actually insures loans for lenders, you know, under certain types of loans. And what happened is they could be going belly up if they don't make changes. And so when you're hearing all these changes happening, it's not a bad thing, because what they're doing is they're taking drastic quick measures to get things in order so that they don't have to go belly up. So they're going to be around a long time, because FHA really helps our economy as far as buying houses for people up to certain price ranges. You know, it could be up to $625,000 depending on the county. Some places might be $400,000. Some could go even higher than the $625,000, just depending on where you are. So it's not a bad, bad thing what they're doing. And some of the changes that they're making are actually going back to the old days and instituting the way it was run prior to, say, 7, 8, 10 years ago. So we're going to go over a little bit about that after we take a quick break and also go over a few items of how to decide whether you go FHA or VA, I mean FHA or conventional, which is the best way to go.
Okay. All righty. We'll take a break and be right back. Again, the number 347-945-5428. It's 347-945-5428. So if you are buying or selling, buying specifically, we're talking about today in the next few minutes, and you have a question for Natalie, absolutely give us a call at 347-945-5428. We'll be back right after this.
Real estate is still a solid investment to invest in if you are in for the long haul. It can also be one of the best investments of your capital if handled correctly. In the United States, we are fortunate to have the tax write-offs that we take for granted while owning property. To obtain the best value for your real estate, there needs to be a market of both buyers and sellers, as well as a means of bringing the two together. Now more than ever, due to the recent loan crisis, even with bringing buyers and sellers together, there needs to be a way to make the financing work if a loan is needed. There are still many options available, and we can help. Whether you're a buyer, seller, going through a short sale, investing at the top or bottom, we have trained Realty Universal members in each state and affiliates who can customize your process the way it will work best for you. We do advise that you coordinate with your accountant and real estate attorney so your plan is intact. We have all learned through this economy that planning and averting pitfalls can make a world of difference in our futures. Ultimately, you have to rely on you. After consulting with the experts, we set you up to win. We're excited to be able to continue to bring to the world stage a company as dedicated to universal excellence as Realty Universal, Inc. On the surface, our company has been initiating a revolution in the real estate world since 1996. We started offering our menu programs when it was not the standard way of doing business. Now it is so much more understood and commonplace, although we are still ahead of the rest due to experience within the systems. In today's economy, our menu programs make it possible for buyers and sellers to still have a win-win situation. The best situation in life is when everyone wins. Everyone must give in to assist in the outcome, and what happens is very positive experience. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe that sellers and buyers should have choices. As obvious as this seems, traditional real estate has never been structured in such a way as to allow the multitude of choices sellers and buyers truly deserve. After years of perfecting and receiving feedback on our programs, we have developed real estate menu systems that are used by buyers, sellers, and agents and brokers who are part of our Realty Universal network, which is growing by leaps and bounds.
And we are back, Realty Universal Radio, and again, the number to call in if you're listening live is 347-945-5428. Natalie Mullinex is with us, president and founder of Realty Universal. And today's topic, we're talking about, again, if you're buying, should you go FHA? Should you go conventional? What are some of the pros and cons and deals and updates?
Yeah, and gosh,
things that are going on.
We've already gotten through half of the show already. It goes by too fast, Randy. But I want to keep the format where we do half and half, right? So overall, if you can go conventional versus FHA, overall I would go conventional. Because one of the biggies is the mortgage insurance premium. And under conventional, if you have at least 20% down, you do not have to pay mortgage insurance, which is going to add to your loan, add to your payment, et cetera. Under FHA, for years and years, it didn't matter which way, how much money you put down, you would still have to pay mortgage insurance. They stopped that, I guess, 7 to 10 years ago, and now they're bringing it back. Now they're saying, hey, wait a minute, we lost too much money, which makes sense because FHA's main purpose is to insure the lenders, right, and to insure these loans so that these loans are put out into the market. All of a sudden, I don't know why, I don't think it was a good idea when they stopped that, but now they're bringing it back. So when you see it in the news, oh my goodness, all this stuff is changing, it's not a bad thing. It was working better before, and they're just bringing it back to what it was, you know? So, I mean, it's a little bit more costly. They're charging more. They're actually, you know, doing a few things that are going to be more. But it still is not a bad thing. So what that means is if you take an FHA loan out and you've paid 50% down, you're still going to be paying that mortgage insurance. And so what's going to happen is you're going to want to refinance your FHA loan as soon as you can qualify, you know, once you have 20% in. The problem with today's market is sometimes it's not easy to qualify conventionally, so that could be a sticking point. But you still should buy. Now, if you can go conventional, and there are some conventional loans out there with 5 and 10% down, they're coming back, I would recommend going conventional. Well, it sounds like a no-brainer, go conventional versus FHA if you can. But FHA will let you, actually the ratios will let you qualify for more. So if you're tight on income, tight on things, it could even credit scores, FHA typically will get, it's easier to get an FHA loan than it is to get a conventional loan. So it's pretty cut and dry. It's pretty easy to decide. But you want to look at the numbers when you are planning to buy. But it's definitely really important to get in the house and buy the house. And the rates are still very low with FHA. And FHA is a fantastic program. So you can get in with 3.5% down. You don't need the typical 5, 10, 20% down. So it's definitely a good way to go. But if you clearly, when you're talking to the lender, and if you say, hey, can I qualify conventional, you may want to look at the conventional loan versus the FHA.
Yeah, I had heard that. I'd heard that if you can, I've heard that before, if you can, that conventional is the way to go. There are advantages. But a lot of people, like you said, are in a place where they want to get in, and FHA is the way to go, huh?
But I see this as a positive, though, because a lot of people are screaming, oh, my gosh, what else is going to change? What else is going to change? This is, it used to be that way for years, you know, and it's a matter of, hey, do we buckle down and get this back in line, or do we let it go away? If they just totally shut down FHA, that would really, really hurt the housing market and the economy.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's a good thing.
Yeah.
You know, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, which do it in conventional loans, are making a lot of changes, you know. So I wish when they had to do, well, I can't take that back. When they're making the legal changes, I wish they really, really, really had people that really been in the business for years, because sometimes they're just, you know, they're looking at it across the board. With that said, when you belong to National Association of Realtors, which I have since 85, and the local boards, which I belong to Maryland and Hawaii, and many, many real estate agents and brokers do, it's not mandatory, but when you're an agent or broker, but we have what they call RPAC, and there's a really good, you know, funding to try to fight the rules to help to keep these programs in place and to give advice to the legislature, you know, legislatives in each state, et cetera. But it still just takes a lot of work. It's amazing how much work and effort and volunteerism and things go into this to keep things together. So I actually see it as a plus. I don't see it as a detriment, because I'm like, hey, you know, it's like if you can't afford to do something, right? You know, if you can't afford to go out to dinner every day, or you cut back, right? You cut back on these things, and I think this is a good plus. So do your, when you're going to go buy, it's just a big thing is, you know, shop, check out what you're doing, you know, because sometimes I've seen so many people, they just go, I'm going to buy, okay, I like it, can I get a loan? Oh, here's a loan officer, and a loan officer says, here, just use this program. Not, I mean, many, many explain different programs, but they may say, here, use this, okay, it sounds good, okay, boom, and then later say, why didn't I know about this, or why didn't I know about that? So it's just educate yourself, and it's so easy these days to look in and figure it out, and you can also go to realtyuniversal.com and click on Contact Us and what area you're in, et cetera, and if you have questions, you know, the company's glad to help as well and direct you in the right way.
Is it true, you know, I've heard this, but I've heard conflicting reports, and again, this is me, just the beauty of this half hour of the show is
I love you because you get to ask the questions. Yep.
Well, I get to ask the questions that, you know, people
that are important.
Maybe think, but think they might be too stupid to ask, and I get to ask them for everybody. But so is it true, like, by and large, that it is more difficult now to qualify for a home? I've heard that.
It versus 5 years ago or 10 years ago?
Versus five years ago.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's so much more difficult than it was 20 years ago, you know, although 20 years ago you still saw no-doc loans come up and things. I think it is more difficult because they're having to be careful. They're having to check things out. You know, absolutely, it's definitely more difficult than it was 5 years ago. But 5 years ago, we were still in that part of that early 2000 up through 2008, where if you breathed, you got a loan. Not, you know, totally, but it is more difficult to qualify. It is, and that's where FHA is going to be a little bit more lenient than conventional to get somebody in. But
and FHA, is it significantly, do you pay significantly more in interest with an FHA?
No, right now the interest rate's running just maybe a quarter point, half point higher than conventional, but not necessarily, depending on points. The increase in FHA, what's happening is your down payment's lower. The reason you're going to pay more is because of that mortgage insurance and the percentage. I think it's like 0.75 if it's under – with 0.10 if it's under 625, and like 0.35 if it's over. But then there's like a 0.75 upfront fee that's financed in your loan. So you have like an upfront mortgage fee, and then you have a monthly fee. Yes, so your payment's going to be higher, and you're paying more over the life of the loan. So, but the interest rates, and if you work it out right, you know, and if you really get technical and learn how to pay down on your mortgage, you know, a little bit, pay on your interest early, you know, because the first 5-6 years is nothing but interest that you're paying. So if you get in there and you start, you know, tacking it down, you know, but if it's the difference between you buying or not buying, this is not. These are fantastic rates. It's government funded. It's or insured, not funded. It's government insured. Mm-hmm. It's a good deal. This isn't like you're going to a loan shark and, oh my gosh, I can't go conventional. Let me go over and, you know, get this. So no. This is a good deal. It's just you want to be aware of what you're doing, because many people might go, I didn't know that. I thought once I have 20% in, I can knock it off. They what happened is for years and years, conventional was where you had to have 20% down, and then FHA, you would pay the mortgage insurance through the life of the loan, and then they had passed a law that if people had like 78%, they had paid down their equity to 78% of what the property was worth, they could automatically get rid of the mortgage insurance, and that went for conventional and FHA.
Mm.
It was a good law to pass in the sense that even people doing with conventional loans didn't realize it, and you still had to bring it to someone's attention, and some lenders could require you to get an appraisal and, you know, to get this done, but it was still a good it was still good, and it was an eye-opener, because there were a lot of people. I mean, if you had a conventional loan and you didn't notify them, you could still pay on it, too, for the life of the loan. So it's a good deal. But I tell you, if you want to buy, it's really a good time to get out there and buy. The prices, depending on where you are, the prices have inched up, but they're not going up astronomically fast. So it's really, really a good market. Some of the buyers are frustrated in some markets where they're having a shortage of inventory. But there's other ways to find the homes on the market, too. Not everything is in the MLS, and that's just a whole other show in itself. So
yeah.
I hope we always give you just a little bit of tidbits here. But it's
yeah. Man, it's flown by again. The first half hour just about in the books. Coming up in the second half hour, Joe Taylor is going to join us. He's a marriage and family therapist, and we'll be talking to him in a few. If you have any more questions, obviously, realtyuniversal.com is the place. You can contact them and get your questions answered. And again, just a whole lot of information on that website. And again, it's just, as Natalie says, doing your homework, you know, and not getting caught up in the emotion. I think everybody... It's like whether it's a new car or a new house, you know.
And sometimes it's just asking the questions. And like Randy said, there's no stupid question, right? Ever. You know what I mean? And you're saying, maybe because people think that all this is, I can't ask this question. Ask
yeah,
everything
I think
and anything.
People do.
Do not. Absolutely. And that's how we learn, and not everybody's going to know. I mean, none of us know all of it. You know, there's so many changes, but it's worth it. It's worth it because in the long run, you're planning and you're making investments that can really make a difference in your family's security. So it's all
very,
good.
Yeah, very big. Very big, important stuff. And we just sometimes, you know,
I want that. Oh, let me go take
yeah.
it. Okay, here, it's yours.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. I don't know what I just got myself into. No, you don't want to do that. You want to make sure that
yeah.
you know what you're doing.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, let us take a break. And then on the other side, we are going to be with Joe
I'm
Taylor.
Excited. Can
yeah,
I get to ask questions? But no, I'll be quiet.
Yeah. No.
Okay.
This is you and him. I'm going to let you and him. I'll
no,
because
I'll do. Because I have, you have to chime in. But I don't.
Okay, we'll be back in a moment. Again, the number to call 347-945-5428. We'll be back right after.
It's time for Ask Coach Dave. Dave Ferguson is a master coach, speaker, and change agent. And now another installment of Ask Coach Dave.
Today's question comes from Lynette in St. Louis, Missouri. Lynette says, hey, Coach Dave, can you talk to me about how I can add value to not only my business, but my customers' business? Lynette, great question. I get asked that a lot from my current clients. And you know, adding value from a business standpoint is supposed to be all about giving more to your customers, putting more into your products, and increasing and improving your services. You know, done properly, you would think a well-tuned business would be able to beat the competition, increase market share, and increase profits. But that's not always the case. You know, while a company's continuous drive to add value is applauded, I believe there's a better way to add value to your business. That way is creating uniqueness around your business. I mean, anyway, shouldn't you be giving your customers the maximum value already?
Thanks, Coach. Are you looking for winning strategies? Are you a goal-getter? Check out AskCoachDave.com.
Grief is a natural emotion that is deeply personal, and it can take days, weeks, months, or even years to work through the feelings. There is no timetable for grieving a loss. Everyone heals differently. For most, there are several stages to the grieving process, and they are denial, a numbness and disbelief that the event has occurred. Denial acts as a shock absorber that helps us assimilate the difficult truth. Anger. When we have been abandoned by loss or death, anger can be very powerful. When we experience a loss, we can be angry at anyone or anything, the person who died, ourselves, institutions, or even God. Guilt, a feeling of regret or conflict or shame about the loss. Depression, overwhelming sadness about the loss that can seem never-ending. As we begin to acknowledge the loss and reality sets in, we can begin to feel sad, hopeless, and unprotected. And finally, acceptance. Acceptance means that you know that life has changed and that you need to find new ways of responding to that change. It's an awareness of life's new realities and a readiness to move forward. If you are coping with any loss, there are many resources in our community that can and want to support you. Please contact me at the Needham Youth Commission if you, a member of your family, or someone you know is struggling and might benefit from professional support or direction.
Indeed, and that's exactly what we're about here in this second half of the show, is professional support and direction as regards grief and loss. And those of you, by the way, you're listening to Realty Universal Radio, and this is a show, as you know, you may have just tuned in. What we're about is the first half of the show, real estate, talking about nuggets. Like this first half, we talked about, you know, differences between the FHA and conventional loans, and that's the kind of nuts and bolts and nuggets you're going to get in the first half of the show. Second half, we always aim to inspire, to motivate, to add value to you, and as you know, if you've listened to the show for any length of time, the second half gets pretty personal, gets pretty emotional sometimes, and it's meant to be that way, because that's what life is hard. And to the degree that we can talk about it, process it, I think we're all a whole lot healthier. One of my favorite books, there's a line in one of my favorite books. Okay, I'll go ahead and say it. It's the Bible, where James, I think, 5:16 says, you know, confess your sins one to another that you might be healed, you know. And there's just healing in working stuff out together. And there it is, right there in the Bible. So, Joe Taylor, licensed marriage and family therapist from Chico Creek Counseling. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Randy. Welcome. Good to be here.
Oh, it's great to have you on.
Excited to be able to talk to you guys about the subject.
Anytime we get free counseling, man, we're all over it. So,
Randy tells me you're coming. I'm like, oh, goody. Can I ask questions? I'm just kidding. Okay.
Randy's always in need of counseling. So, I'm always giving him lots of good advice.
Oh, man. So, I'm going to kind of, Joe, I'm going to kind of let you go, because I don't want to, I want to maximize the time with you. You know, Natalie, and I've mentioned it to you, Joe, I mean, you've been through a pretty difficult year, Natalie. Share a little bit with Joe, kind of in a nutshell, what you've been through this year.
You were, Randy was saying, you do a lot of depression and grief counseling, right, too? I mean,
That's not exactly my specialty, but, you know, people keep on bringing it up. So,
well, tell us your specialty. Tell us your specialty, and then it comes up because it's in there, you know, right?
Well, you know, I do a lot of work with couples, married or you know, just unmarried couples, helping them work through, you know, all the regular issues that we have when we're together with somebody. A lot of time, loss comes up, past loss, things that people are grieving over based on just history, you know, things that have happened in their lives. I also work with a lot of families, and particularly children, with trauma, who've experienced trauma. So post-traumatic stress, or kids who have been removed from their family home due to parents' drug use, or maybe some kind of abuse neglect. So there's a lot of trauma around that. Sometimes there's trauma around actually the event of people in the system coming in
wow.
and removing, arresting the parents in front of the children and removing the children. So.
And that can happen at such, yeah, I mean, you go, that could be even baby, if it was, something happens to a baby and nobody knows how to deal with it, right? Because the baby may have seen something and it's going to be really, that must be difficult to get that out, right? When you're, well, you know the tools to do it, but.
Particularly difficult when it's pre-verbal, you know, before we learn to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that's happened to us back in the day. And we may, maybe it may feel it or it's deep down, but we can't really get it out. And so, and that in itself is a grieving process, how we how experience the loss of the parent, even if it's for a period of time. And often we'll see parents reunited with their kids, which is a really cool thing, but it still has an effect in the child's life.
I God bless you for doing it, because I would think, like, I would think a lot of abandonment issues come up. Trauma, I mean, and how you decipher. I mean, just a quick, I was in a, this is something small that's not going to hurt, I'm sure it hurt, but it's just an example. I was in the office parking garage the other day coming out, and a woman was trying to go down the steps with her stroller with her baby, and with a baby probably, I don't know how old, if I had to guess, probably just under a year somewhere, but in the stroller, mm-hmm. and it was hard, so this man walked up quickly to help her and grabbed the stroller on the bottom and started pulling it down. The baby started wailing, I mean wailing, because he was scared, you know, from this person grabbing in the front. And that's something little, but she was taking the baby over to the car, and you're okay, and I just wanted to run over and say, you're okay, it's only because he was helping, you know, like to give the reasons why this person jumped right in front of them to help with the stroller. Yeah, but of course I minded my own business, but I saw the mother just saying, you're okay, and that's a little thing, that's not, but I think something like that could scare, you know, a child, right, that way. I mean, I'm being extreme on the little example that's not something that's going to hurt the child for life. But I mean, those types of things can happen. And you, as a therapist, you and your business, I mean, you have to get to these problems, right? Which has got to be really hard.
In the presence of a caregiver that the child's attached to, like that, like you described, that's pretty minimal. You know, child is frightened.
Right.
But when the caregiver is no longer there or available or been removed, or the child's been removed, you know, due to a parent's, you know, whatever situation, then those are the kind of things, especially the earlier they are in life, the stronger the impact it has in attachment of the child to any caregiver that might come along in the future. So one of the difficulties then we have with kids who've been removed from the home is, you know, say we're dealing with a 6-7-year-old who's having aggressive anger issues at school or at home, and so they're having trouble feeling comfortable or safe with the parent, and the parent's maybe having some discipline problems, and so we have some good tools out there to help strengthen the bond between parent and child. So it's not like it's hopeless. It may be difficult, but I've seen some good success with that in the past.
Wow. Will you do counseling virtually, or do they have to come in to do it with you, or is that something you don't agree with?
With some situations, phone counseling or Skype is appropriate. Sure.
Okay.
That works. My license limits me to being able to only do that with people who live in California. So, for instance, if somebody calls in from Minnesota, it's like, well, I could give a little bit of advice, but we couldn't do a formal counseling session maybe refer them to somebody else.
That's really good to know. And how would they contact you if somebody is listening to the show now or listening to archives? We have a lot of listeners that listen to the archives.
Oh, well, okay. Well, the easiest way is to log on to my website, which is chicocreekcounseling.com.
And Chico Creek
Counseling.com. There's a a very important creek that runs through our town. Then it's called.
See, you guys would know this. You guys would know this, but I wouldn't. Okay.
Chico Creek, baby.
That's why Randy didn't want it to rain more than 2 days the other day. Now I get it. Okay.
Absolutely.
So, an end of practice after the creek in town. So ChicoCreekCounseling.com, there's a lot of articles on there about relationships, kids and behavior issues, Asperger's, that's another thing I work with teens and young adults with Asperger's. So a lot of things to read on my website there.
Okay, so here's another, I ask a stupid question in the first half. I'm going to ask a
never
stupid question.
Never stupid, never stupid, Randy.
What is Asperger's? What is that? What is that condition?
Well, traditional description of Asperger's is that it is a part of autism. So autism, we don't totally understand. We certainly don't know the causes. We're starting to get a bit of a handle on some cures. But Autism Speaks, which .org,
mm-hmm.
I think,
AutismSpeaks.org.
It's a really, really great resource for autism and kids, parents of kids with Asperger's. But to answer your question, Randy, Asperger's is a high-functioning level of autism.
Okay.
So if you see, it's kind of the, maybe one easy way to describe it is, my apologies to those who have Asperger's who might be listening in, but for the rest of us, it's kind of like they look kind of quirky, you know. So it's maybe poor eye contact, having difficulty creating or maintaining relationships, being able to a facial recognition often is a characteristic, like because they don't look people in the eye often.
Do they tend to find? Does it tend to show? It's like autism. I mean, the baby's year, 2 years old. Does it tend Asperger's form of autism? Does it show at young ages, or does it something that can be picked up even older?
Usually not. Yeah, and a lot of what we've been talking about, particularly in early treatment of autism, would be early recognition, early detection, and early treatment. So there's some really good protocols and for treating young children with autism that are starting to show some good results. That's not my forte. Mine would be for the high-functioning person, autistic or Asperger's person who...
When does it show up in Asperger's? I mean, when is it like...
So typically you'll start to see some behaviors, 2, 3, some parents totally, if it's pretty high functioning, they'll totally miss that. I had a parent come into my office a couple of weeks ago who has a 14-year-old, and she said, just figured it out that my son has Asperger's. So that's painful because he's gone through his entire or most of his life at school with poor social relationships and the struggling and often result some of the things I can treat would be depression, anxiety, and then also I can help some of the social skills with.
You're amazing. You make me want to go back to college and get a degree in this because this sounds so... No, the way you're... I mean, it's amazing because you really have to learn the tools to get this... You know what I mean? You really have to learn the tools to be able to do this, and I'm sure there's an art involved too, just like an art industry. You know, you get the feelings and the knowledge. You know, it just kind of flows together.
It does. Yeah, it all fits. And all began back in my work. I worked at an agency here in town for about 10 years, and I was working with kids with trauma, and we started seeing some kids that were on the autism spectrum, and then so that kind of evolved in working from that to teens with autism or Asperger's, and then I started having young adults and adults, actually grown men, call me wanting some help with their marital relationships, and So, yeah, it just sort of flows. You're right.
Wow. Gosh, I'd love it if it's okay with you and Rain, if you wanted to do a show just on the Asperger's and autism one time with us, you know, on your,
you.
I mean, what you, because it seems like, I mean, with what you just said, if somebody, they said at 14, they realized and awareness is huge in treating and how people relate and also the, you know, knowledge, right, of what issues are happening. And it's just, wow, that's amazing. I mean, we don't have time right now, but I think that the autism to me, just being a layperson, and I've dealt with, I mean, my industry, I've dealt with thousands of people over the years, so I can understand. I mean, but being a layperson, I personally, and I know we won't go there, but I just think all the, I've seen such an increase in autism. It seems like those, they talk about the vaccinations, then they say it doesn't have anything to do with it. Me and my gut and my heart, I feel like it does. Maybe not in all cases, but I just think too much is done at one time.
We'd love to point to something specific like that.
It's not possible.
There's really very little evidence for that. Well, some would argue with that, but research doesn't seem to carry that out. Yeah.
But it seems so much more prevalent now than years ago. So I don't know, but. Maybe
there's lots of discussion around are we better at diagnosing, identifying, are we just more aware? Is there other things? Is it, you know, what's in our water? What do we breathe? What are we eating? You know, some of the things, non-organic things that are in our diet.
GMO and aspartame. That's a whole nother thing. That's true.
Well,
it's true. That's a good point. That's an excellent point.
Yeah. I'm sure at some point we'll be able to put our finger on it. Just like Jonas Salk found the cure for polio back in the day, hopefully we can soon find a cure or a treatment for this.
Wow, that would be wonderful.
Yeah.
That
So hey,
we
Joe,
had,
go ahead.
No, go ahead.
We've got about 13 minutes to go, and again, ChicoCreekCounseling.com is Joe's website, ChicoCreekCounseling.com, and again, the number if you're listening right now. You're absolutely free to call in. Again, how often do you get to be on the air with somebody like Joe Taylor? 347-945-5428. That's 347-945-5428. Do we dare attack the grief thing
can we? We have time, right? Can we?
Okay. We have 10 minutes.
Sure.
Help us, Joe!
I just can say, because I know Randy probably told you that my brother, who I adore, I'll adore him until the day I die and hopefully in heaven. But he was tragically killed in a motorcycle accident and he was kind of run off the road. So it wasn't a very bad thing. And nobody's in jail. And it was a situation with a girlfriend cheating. It's not a good situation. And it was so drastic and we're 15 months He's 15 months younger than me, and I was I was the first person he called when he caught his girlfriend cheating. So everything tied, 7 weeks before, and everything tied in. And I was always the big sister, kind of mom, kind of over. It was just he and I are the only siblings. We were out on our own as teenagers, kind of, and pretty much did so much. And we were both. It's kind of like the connection's so close. And I've always been pretty independent, pretty go-getter, be able to handle life very well, et cetera, and raised my son by myself. I was divorced 20-some years ago. But I'll tell you, and always high-functioning, high-achieving. I mean, as far as, of course, you can hear my A personality, which I do calm down, though. Right, Randy?
Yeah.
I can't, because you never know. But it was so traumatic. It was like I felt like I had post-traumatic stress because he died. I felt so guilty because I had just flown back to Hawaii. I'd been in Maryland for quite a while, back and forth, and we were getting so much physical time together. We always talked all the time. We talked 4 hours before he died, but I felt so guilty because I was there and I didn't do anything because I didn't know. I wasn't there right when he died, but it was that trauma thing of like, why couldn't I save him? Why didn't I know something more was going on? What's wrong with me? What did I? And so what happened is, and the trauma, and I went and I tried to go through the justice system, and nobody's done anything because they're saying, oh, it was just an accident. It's whatever, you know. So I went to the counseling, and they said, well, you were like a mom and a sister, so you're taking it so seriously, and I still am, but it literally happened a year ago in January. I've still had to, I had to deal with a lot of things with, to tidy up things for him, and I put things out on my own. It wasn't, but I literally, my business, well, I just couldn't, I just literally, the trauma was so bad. And I'm just really getting through that grief now. I'm starting to laugh again. I'm starting to allow myself to say, hey, I have a full life. I'm starting to feel joy again, you know. And it really is a process, but it's a scary process because you feel so powerless, you know. And I think I went through all the steps, the grief, the depression. I cried every day for, 14 months. I mean, I gained 40 pounds. It was like I beat myself up, and I just, I'm sure you've heard this more and more, but I think there was also, sure. I guess, I was feeling guilt from childhood and that God was responsible because I'm responsible for everything. And it's terrible. And it's been hell, I have to say, to go through it. And when you finally can get to the light, I mean, I still have a ways to go, and it's never going to be the same. Life's not going to ever be the same. My brother was like a father and uncle. My son's 34. He was like the father, uncle, everything, because my ex-husband hasn't been in the picture, you know, like he should have been. But so all these things happen, and it really shocked me because I'm looking at it, and I go, and we only have a few minutes here. I had some things. I have my ulnar nerves, problems with my ulnar nerves the last few years, so I can't write and do what I need to do for the business that I could do before. So that was already something that, you know, was an issue for me to deal with, but I still deal with it and dealt with it. And this, my brother, it just paralyzed me. It was like, no, but I didn't, I still was responsible. I still made sure the bills were paid. They still kept the businesses running. I still did, but when I see how much I wasn't able to do what I normally would do in the capacity for getting taken out that I can't work with my hands. Like, oh, I couldn't write like I would before, you know, because I used to write for hours and hours, and I can write like 3 minutes and it hurts. I'm just throwing this in because we have a very fast time to go to say this. I was so shocked, I adore my brother. I love my brother. I love him. You know, I was so shocked at how I became kind of debilitated, you know, in my normal way and for such a long period. So is that just something that everybody's different? And I know the love that you have for the person is, I know my son and my brother are probably the only two people I would get that upset about. Not that I don't love a lot of people, you know, but in general, but can you say, is that just something that it happens and it gives you empathy because
no,
bad.
Well, so
terrible.
Let me say this first is that everyone grieves differently, you know, so, you know, we have Kubler-Ross and the stages of grief and all that. And that's fine. But Kubler-Ross wrote her stages of grief based on when somebody learns they're dying, you know, and what do they go to? Some of those stages can apply to what we would deal with when we lose a loved one. But I think the thing to realize is that we don't have to go through all those stages. You know, we can go through some of them, or maybe we do go through all of them, but we're all different people, and this put us in a box is kind of a difficult thing to do. So you all the things that you described, being the type A person and the strong impact of this person who you were so close to, affected you profoundly. So part of that is circumstance. For instance, I was meeting with somebody a while back who lost a child, and so there was some PTSD associated with the child dying in their arms. We're talking about that and how strong that was and how terrible that was. And then we talked about this person who also lost a parent, you know, who was in their, I think, 80s or something, and how different that was from losing a child.
Right.
Of course.
Right.
Yes,
right.
I understand that.
Right.
So I think that's a part of what was going on with you,
Well, that's why I said if it was a natural death, I would have felt different than the way it was.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or some of the circumstances you described that,
right.
You know, that kind of we wonder what happened type things. The other part, I think that is people don't always have control over this, but who or what is our support group out there when we do have a loss?
Right.
So who can we turn to? Who can we cry with? Who can we tell the story to? Who's going to put their arm around our shoulder or hug us? Who's going to take us out and make sure we get out of the house and take a walk?
Right,
you know,
and for me, I was like, my friends of 20-some years were starting to say, we can't take this anymore. We're worried about you. We can't stop it. Don't talk about it, because they'd never seen me be like this. So I was starting to feel abandoned from my friends, you know?
Yeah, and yours turned from grief to depression.
Totally. I went into total depression.
Yeah. And so there is a difference between grief and depression. They share many symptoms, so sometimes it's hard to tell the difference. And grief can be the roller coaster. I guess maybe one way to describe it, grief, the roller coaster. But when you have depression, it's sort of like, you know, it's just this low-lying, everything.
Exactly.
Nothing's working. I can't move. I can't get out of the house. I can't function. I can't. If you love to write, I can't write. You can't call up your friends and ask for help. So that's when you need to turn to someone like myself. If you don't have a large support group out there, or hate to bring it up, but antidepressants, at least for a short period of time.
It was funny. I tried that temporarily, and I hated it because I tried it. I forgot once they gave me within a week. I was like bawling even more, and I said, "Get me off of this." So then they put me on the Zoloft, and I tried that for 3 or 4 months, and then I totally got off the antidepressant because I just, my personality just, but what
You're
did
right.
help me was Xanax helped me.
Xanax.
That helped me to kind of calm me down.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
yeah.
And that helped me, and I did. Yeah, I did, and that definitely helped me.
Awesome.
But,
so that was, sometimes that's all you need. Xanax would be for. And I'm not certainly a doctor. I'm not an expert in this, but I hear this more from my clients who work with me. It's more beneficial when you're in a stressful situation or an anxious situation than you.
Okay.
Then you take your Xanax. It's not like something you take every day, like Zoloft.
Right.
So it does help in those anxious situations, like when you're hopping on the plane or hopping on a motorcycle. For you, it's like, I'm sure you ride your motorcycle all the time. So if you get a level of anxiety getting on your motorcycle, then you take your Xanax to help calm yourself down.
Yeah.
So, maybe that was a bad illustration, but...
I hate motorcycles because after it happened to my brother. No, it's not a bad illustration. I understand what you're saying. But I don't hate them, but they're just so dangerous. But no, exactly, and I think that's what that did. It took the edge off because I was too anxious. But I don't want to be someone either taking a lot of medicine for any length of time type of thing. But I tell you, one of the things I noticed, though, is that you finally do get to where you're starting to say, no, I have to live. I think I was feeling like, how dare I get to go have a regular life and he's dead? How dare I get to go and smile and joyful and these people, you know, this bad stuff happened to him? And then I felt so guilty, like, why didn't I step up to the plate? Why didn't I know more? Because when he told me about the affair, I was nonchalant about it. I didn't think it was right, and I didn't at all. But I wasn't like, get out of there immediately. This girl's da-da-da-da, which the girl turned out to be really, really bad. And I didn't know how bad she was because she was always quiet around me. So I felt very, like guilty, like I should have done more. But really, I couldn't do more, right? It's not my place to be doing that. I mean, my brother is an older, he's 15 months younger than me.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I think
you're responsible. Responsibility for something that's not yours. So that was
exactly.
Sort of his choice. Yeah.
So you pinpointed everything, didn't he, Randy? Right away. Just.
Absolutely. Done it. We've got like 1 minute, and Joe, it's been obviously this is a classic case in radio. We always say leave them wanting more, and we've.
So much
that's
more
the case
to say.
With you.
I would definitely go ChicoCreekCounseling.com. I'm sure there's a lot of people will be listening there in California, and then if you can refer them, or even what you just did with me, you could do that from anywhere, right? I mean, that's not getting into the right. Because you were able to really pinpoint, wait a minute, I think this is going on. Like you pinpointed, it went from grief to major depression, and it absolutely did. Absolutely. It was debilitating, you know. Plus, I think there was some post-traumatic stress. I don't know if that's correct or not, but from the accident and the powerlessness. And nobody's in jail still. Nobody's like, and we've heard, I mean, there's way more than we can say, and it's going to, what happens with our show is, when it's ready, when it's at that last minute, it'll just cut us off. So we're going to have to all say goodbye. And but it has
been wonderful. Thank you, man.
Wonderful having you on. And everybody, again, it's Joe Taylor, and it's ChicoCreekCounseling.com.
Yeah. Yep.
Thanks a million.
Check it out.
To everybody out there, and we all need plenty of this all the time, I wish you peace.
Amen.
Thank you for joining us on Realty Universal Radio. Our hope is that you are enlightened, encouraged, and mobilized to be an agent of change. Realty Universal is on Facebook. Join us there. Follow us also on Twitter @RealtyUniversal. And for more information, you can go to RealtyUniversal.com.